is the power of confession is what we're talking about. This morning we're going to go into that. As ministry in this area is one of the things is from a faith standpoint, there's three things concerning, as a teaching I've done numbers of years, the three parts of faith that the Lord gave me. I heard a message given by a really good Bible teacher who's going to be with the Lord. But he talked about the two, he said two parts of faith he taught, which was believing with the heart and saying with the mouth. But that isn't the only thing. It's acting on the Word of God also. So there's three things you really need to do concerning faith. You need to believe the Word, you need to say it, and then you need to act like it's true. And so when we're dealing with this, you know, it's one of the things is, you know, if like, you know, Darlene was talking about, you know, coming down to the wire. You know, one of the things is this, you're going to find out what kind of faith that you have concerning patience. Patience is about your doing. See, many people have faith, but if you don't have patience, your faith ain't going to work for you. And see, it's when you get down to the wire, finds out, you know, where your faith's really at. It doesn't matter what they're saying if they're acting like it ain't working. If they're acting like it's not working. Well, they're defeating their own faith. They can't maintain doing that. You'll eventually start saying the wrong things. You'll eventually start doing that. And this is what people do, is you got to maintain, say, man, when things are getting close, I found out lots of times the way it's almost always worked for me, it always comes down in the areas where things get close in time. And to me, that's the norm. If that bothers you, you're never going to be much of a faith person. As I found out, things run down to the wire. That's just the way it is. But you know what? You need tested. You know, you will never grow in faith if you're not tested. Amen. Never. Amen. If your faith isn't tested at all, you will never have great faith. Your faith will never amount to nothing. It's in testing. You know, the trying of our faith worketh patience. And when patience has its perfect work, then that's when you're going to be imperfect and retire lacking nothing. And that ain't happening until then. And you need to go. See, I've learned the principle of this thing. You know what? So, like I heard a guy talking about doing things, and he said the things we need to do that are good for us and good for our lives and that stuff are all things that are hard to do. He said to sit back and relax. He talked about America. America's a comfort country, and that's why things ain't working.
Amen.
Because the things that really work out good require you to get off your rear end and do something. That's the things you got to get off the rear end of your faith. You've been sitting on your faith and it ain't been producing like you want it. You got to get up and go after it. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. It requires something. You know, I decided I wanted to lose some weight, and the fat boy had to get up and do something. You know, you can try all your diets and stuff and things you want. You'll be right back in your old same self doing again. You got to get up, move around, do something, get around, you know. I'm going to tell you what, you, especially you folks, you know, you're getting older. You got to do something about your muscles. Make sure. I'll tell you what, if you don't, as you get older and you let it go, it will be gone. You get to the point you can't get back. So I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to the point it can't get back. But you can go there. See, it requires something of us, and it's work. And you know what? We generally, and I've watched it over the years, you go along and using your faith, and you find this out. Things really improve. Like we saw in our lives, one and I improved, but we found this out. I've watched this going along. Most of the people that started when I did, and people I knew well around me that started off in this faith thing, there's a lot of them ain't in the game today. Mike stayed with the game. I knew Mike, you know, years ago, and Darlene, they stayed with it. A lot of people didn't stay with it. They still talk about it, but they ain't staying with it. They're not staying with it. Why? It requires it. It isn't something you can just go lay down and any time you want come back and pick it up years later and it works. No, it don't. Don't work like that. Mm-hmm. Does it? This is work. You know what? I love the payoff. The work is worth it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
See, I worked a lot concerning health, my health, of walking in health. I worked at it. And you know what? It's been the payoff. I'm looking around at people my age today walking around out here, how many of them? It's like, man, I'm glad I put the work in. I'm glad I put the work in this thing of faith, of learning to walk and take a hold of stuff, of overcoming things and, you know, doing stuff. You need to understand how important this is. It's not a sit back. You can't sit back and relax in your Christianity. I mean, you have opposition. The devil never sleeps. God don't sleep or slumber, and neither does Lucifer and his cohorts. They're faithful. They'll be, they watch you. They're faithful. They're faithful to do their job. Hallelujah. They don't quit. When you quit, they're all cheering, saying, oh, we got them now. We got them now. They're ours. Hallelujah. Yeah, just wait another 8-9 months. They'll have the door open for us and we can get, yeah, we'll do something to them. Yeah, they'll have it open. Just wait. You know, they're slacking. Say, well, what do you know about that? I've lived this life a few years. I've slacked off already. I've done that. I found out some things the hard way. Amen. You don't have to, but if that's the way, you know, if you want to go the way of hard knocks, go ahead, hard head. I don't want to go there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we were talking about last week. We're going to still in this area of confession. One of the scriptures we used last week, and from Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verse 14. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We need to understand the holding fast our confession and what we're saying. What we are saying. What we are saying. You know, your voice really sets the moods of things around you. There's no place, you can never go to a place where there's a great atmosphere where people are talking negative all the time.
Amen. Come on.
So you said it. You know. It's like I always said this, and it's true. You never go around a depressed person and they're talking anything happy. Well, no wonder they're depressed. If you can't get them to change their voice, you ain't going to change where they're going.
Amen.
So, you know, it's no different. See, I was, before I was saved, you know why I drank? Because I drank, it changed my mood. Because I was downright depressed. I mean, I was oppressed to the devil. I was an alcoholic, but I would drink, I'd feel good. I was a happy guy when I was drinking. See, you didn't want to be around me when I was sober. You wanted to, you know, give me some drinks so I could feel better. Well, see, this is people are doing. Well, I find you get saved. Christians ain't any different. They don't ever, you know what? They don't ever drink. And this is why they don't ever get, no, they're never happy. They ain't happy because they ain't drinking. Because what they don't realize is what they're putting into themselves from their mouth.
Come on.
You're drinking something. You're drinking.
Amen.
See, I found out with people, whether it's health, finances, or whatever it is, if you ain't doing what is right, it is because you've been drinking from your mouth.
Come on.
It is. It's what it is.
Amen.
It's my job to keep me happy.
Amen.
It ain't Wanda's job. It ain't somebody else's job. That's my job.
Amen.
That's why I always say, you got to be your own best cheerleader.
Amen.
That's what you got to do. You
Amen.
Must do that. That's just the way it is. You can't expect everybody else around you to keep things and keep you, you know, say everything's nice and you feel well. Ain't going to happen. There's no world like that. You're going to have to die and go to heaven. So it's a good just get off the earth and leave the rest of us alone if you want that to happen. Because it ain't here. Here in this world, in the world, there's Jesus said this. Now, I think he's probably right. He said, in the world, there's tribulation.
Amen.
That means trouble. He said, I've overcome it. You know what I learned to live like? I've started to live like an overcome. I talk like I've overcome. He's overcome it. You got to get that on your mouth. You got to talk like it's overcome, not it's overcoming you. Well, I hear people say, it's hard. Well, it's hard to do the word of God. It's hard. Well, your mouth has got you in a lot of trouble because, number one, you're a liar. I lived the hard life. I was an alcoholic. It is hard life following Satan. It ain't a hard life of a walk of faith.
Amen.
This ain't the hard life.
Come on.
Amen. See, we need to get out of the way people talk and what they're saying. Oh, it's hard to do this. If Abraham, an unsaved man, could get up the next morning when God told him to go sacrifice his son, he could do it. You're shameful if you talk any different.
Amen.
Come on.
If Abraham, I'm not going to let them spiritually dead people outdo me.
Amen.
We look at them like they were just special out of the box, something or other. And it's, no, it wasn't. You and I got the special.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You and I got the new life.
Praise
you
God.
You and I have ability. See, you got to get out of the way you think. We have listened to too many things said in the church world that is not right. That people talk and say, you know. Praise God. I mean, we have elevated people in the Old Testament above the church. Abraham didn't have God in him. He wasn't a temple of God. He didn't have the teacher inside of him. He didn't have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. See, people can't raise to a level when they're taught on a low level. They can't raise to a level. We're supposed to go above Abraham. We're his offspring. We're living in the days of glory.
Amen.
But see, we need to talk those things. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get blessed. I'm already blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So we want to walk. See, that's why you can endure. When you know that it works, do you believe? And we want to talk about that there. Believing it works. We're talking about scriptures. We went and used Mark 11, 22 through 24, which I want to go back over today because of where we're going to here with this. One of the things he talked about confession. And so this Mark 11:24, this is Jesus Christ himself. Now, if Jesus said it, it's so. I don't care what any other preacher said or anybody else and their interpretation. It's what the word says.
That's right.
It don't matter what somebody else. And I've heard people, I've talked about it before and that stuff. Is I've heard preachers so much over there. He's not talking about actually speaking to mountains. He's not. He's not. Well, give me that scripture that says he isn't. Like I said, I heard Kenneth Hagin say that. But you know what? I knew it. That was wrong. You know, I've heard him make other statements that were wrong about the Bible. You know why? He's a man just like Ed. He didn't know everything. But he was smart. One thing is I listened to him because this is what he always said. Don't believe something because I said it. Go look and see what the word says. And you know what? I saw what the word says. He was smart to tell us that. Well, see, it doesn't matter. He said, if I say something and it isn't in the word, he said, just forget it.
Yes.
But you know what? There's too many people today following men. That's all they do.
Yeah.
They follow what the person says, and they never really check in the word to find out if it's true. They never get back to it. They never get a revelation of their own. They're always trying to live off of something with somebody else. And see, we need to get ourselves over and get in our minds and in our thinking about stuff. And this, one of the things he started off in Mark 11:22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, it was one of the things that some translations have the faith of God, it says, but let's get down to what it is. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, to have the faith of God, you must hear the word. To have the faith of God. See, in God's word is God's faith. And you can have it. It is given to you. Faith comes. Now let me ask you this. Faith comes, but you must receive it. That don't matter if you know what it says. You must receive that into your heart as true. Faith must be received. Get that in yourself. Faith must be received. It comes. Just because it comes don't mean you're going to have it. Faith comes. Do you accept it? Do you accept it as true? If you do, then the rest, Mark 11:23 and 24 are for you. But if you don't accept it, those two verses are not for you. They will not work. Get that in yourself. See, we want to apply them, but first of all, faith comes by hearing the word. And this is one thing you have to know. Faith is not something you generate. It is given to you by God. It is God's. I would not have faith. So I can't cheer Ed's faith is great because I didn't get it from some Ed's great wisdom or something else. It was given to me by God. He gave his word. This is why, you know, Mike had his, you know, worn out covered book there. What did he do? Where did his faith come from? I wrote down scriptures after scriptures after scriptures. See, how do you do? It's a constant. He constantly fed on the word of God. He's living in a world that has all kind of words, but he's focused on certain words specifically.
Amen. That's
If you don't do that, I'm sorry, if you don't do that, you're going to be talking other junk. You see, when I came in the kingdom, I found out I had to make major changes because my 30 years up to that time was a totally different place. A totally different lingo and a totally... I found out most Christians have never changed a whole lot from what they did when they were a sinner. Because they have... Hey, why? It requires work.
Come on.
I can't go and hang out with the same people I did. I can't do the same things I could. So it requires of me, and I want an easy life, you know? As I tell people, you know, the Christian life isn't about something just laid back and easy. It's about change. Mm-hmm. See, I had 30 years in the wrong direction.
Amen.
I had 30 years of practicing this other stuff. Yeah. In my flesh, wanted to go back to the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wants to go back. It requires work. It requires a diligence. You know, like Mike, he sat down. He would do that more and more. He would sit down, eat 3 meals a day. So 3 times a day, I'm going to do this. See, I want to tell you what. I remember things. What's his name? The golfer, the young guy that was really good. Tiger Woods said this. He said, all these people sit around and tell me about this natural talent I have. He said, this natural talent, he said, I work 10 hours every day at golf. He said, so I have this natural talent. There's no natural talent Christians. Everybody had to get born again. You're born again. There's no natural talent. Some people ain't just good at it and some ain't other. Some are diligent and some are lazy.
Come on. That's true.
Some want the good stuff, but I'll tell you what, they don't go to work to get it.
Come on.
You know? Most Christians are socialists. They're waiting for somebody else to get it for them. Somebody else to do it. Somebody.
Amen.
You lay your hand on my empty head. You do this. You do that. You get me what I won't go for.
Come on.
You know, I expect that out of babies because that's what you do. With babies, you do that. But I will not do it for big babies.
Come on.
You won't do it. You know, I've learned this and I've talked about it before myself. I realized in my growing up spiritually how much God did for me out of mercy. And it wasn't my great faith.
Yes.
Understand this about God. God will prove His word to you that it's true lots of times when you aren't in faith. But once He's proved it to you, now you're obligated.
Come on.
You can't go back to play your little games again.
Come on.
See, when I found out God showed me certain things of healing, deliverance, and things and financials He did, I look back over and say, man, my faith was really down in this level. But He was proving to me that His word's true.
Yes.
See, it's just like a child growing up. We prove ourselves to that child that he'll trust us. Children don't naturally trust you. Did you notice that? And untrustworthy parents have problems with their kids. Well, spiritually, it's the same way. Christian parents who don't really walk a really good Christian life and they don't obey the word a lot of times, don't surprise your kids turn out that way.
Come on.
They will follow after the parent closer than anybody usually. That's why I learned, man, with our kids is to walk a certain way. You're going to walk a certain way. Why? Because you're proving it out to them. You're proving it out, and you don't prove it out. See, some people went, come along, and they were Christians. Maybe didn't know a whole lot. But didn't it show up in the family life and in the family things, and then you turn around and get right, you know? You have to understand this. Things don't just happen.
Amen.
See, about this example thing. See, this walking by faith, this is an important thing. We get into the Word of God. Wow, the Word of God sets yourself in your life. It's just like Mike realized his change that he needed to do. He realized there was a goal he set with himself to do something. Do you really have a goal? Well, you can't do it once in a while. You know, like Wanda and I had a goal of giving. And you know what? We never changed that through our entire... If you slip in and out of it, you'll never amount to much. You got to sit and get yourself and do it and get with it and knock off the things talking about faith. Just do it.
Amen.
We did it. We did it when it was really hard for us to do it, naturally speaking.
Yes.
But you know what? We never changed. What God wanted was more important to us than what we wanted.
Amen. Preach.
And you know what? He responded to us in that manner. This is why you look at some people and they say, well, look how God responded to that person. Well, are you doing, and you living like they are to get to where how God responded? If you're not, don't expect it. This is not hard stuff. It is natural in life.
Amen.
You know, you should never expect to make as much money as the president of the company.
Amen.
See, are you walking in the place? Because you know what? He walks at a level so naturally he can have it. Spiritually, you're going to have to climb up to a level to have it. You can't be just a common guy walking around down here spiritually. And come to that. It don't happen.
Right.
You know, men, people that start businesses, they invest into it and they rise to a level. You need to understand as a Christian, if you want to rise to a level financially, you better get your wallet out.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We'll find out what kind of faith. You can talk all the stuff you want,
Amen.
But we're going to see where your wallet is.
Amen. Come on. Come on.
They rise to a level where they get good, but they have sacrificed what they wanted physically to arrive at that point.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, just, you know, I'm amazing, like with Donald Trump. You know, he says, you know, he looks at the White House and we got this little flag on the roof of the White House. He said, hey, this is nuts. He said, this is the White House of America. This is where the president... He don't go gas Congress to do something. He don't go get the people to pay for it. He went and bought the flagpoles and those flags. And I'm going to tell you what, there's a bunch of money in that.
Okay.
Did you see what else now he's doing? They have the ballroom.
Right.
He didn't like it there. What's it, $200 million to redo that ballroom. He's paying for it.
Amen.
Thank God. He's better than most Christians I know.
Praise God.
See, I know why he has money. He's an investor. He's investing in what he sees and believes in. He don't wait for other people to come around and everybody. Wow, you take that $200 million down to Congress, and you know what? They will blow $50 billion and cry about $200 million because of a party junk.
That's right.
And Christians do the same thing about church and being a Christian. They do the
Amen.
Same
Preach.
Darn thing.
Yes.
Everybody wants something, but don't want to invest in it.
Yep,
just the way it works. Now, we're going to talk about this because if I'm putting the word into me, in other words, with faith comes to me and I take it, then it says this, what's in your heart. For surely I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. See, Mike and Darlene told us this morning, there was something they believed. Now, they had to believe that it will be done. See, if they wouldn't have believed that, they'd have quit. Oh, it's getting close to time and this ain't working, you know. Don't seem like nothing's happened and we, are, I don't know, this is... Well, see, they believed it'd be done. You see, I learned to use that, whether it's healing finances or whatever it is.
Yes.
I don't care what the paycheck looks like.
Amen.
This is what God said. This is what we're doing. I don't care what my body's telling me. Here's what the word says. The word says this. I can talk to mountains. James said this. If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body.
Amen.
See, I got that revelation when I was probably about 6 months old Christian. That I was going to control my body through my tongue. That's what James, did James lie? Did James get some kind of word? No. See, your body you can't control, then you got a mouth problem.
Amen.
See, when I got saved, no wonder I ended up a drunk. Man, my was a drunk mouth. You know, I was everything. You know, my mouth was cursing me.
That's right.
My mouth was cursing me. That's what it was doing.
Come on.
It's putting me under. You see, he said, I can say to this mountain, if I believe it, and I don't doubt it. See, you got to keep your mind out of the game so much. See, most of you have a hard time at something. If we have a hard time, it's because we've got thinking about it too much and we've left to believing. So we don't do the words. You're left the place of believing. Because, you know, like I said, you're coming down to the wire. Where do your thoughts want to go? Now, you have a choice of what you're going to follow.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like it's using your mouth. This week, I've been running, and I run 6 days a week. I get up early in the morning and go for a run. Well, I got up Monday, went for a run, and I felt here in my thigh a pull. Oh, and that, man, it just started hurting. I started running, I ran for a while, it started hurting. So I stopped and started walking. But the first thing I didn't talk about that. I started saying things. I started talking stuff. I started saying that. Well, I went back to start try to run again, and man, it was just hurting. But I slowed down and started walking, and I just started talking. I just kept a talking. I just kept talking. This is what's going to do. Hallelujah. Now the devil ain't bringing this thing in. This thing ain't coming to me. Hallelujah. My body's strong, and it can run. Well, I ended up then my last lap and a half, I ran it. I ran it back through and got back to the house. But I just, praise God, I'm healed. And I got up the next morning and I ran, no problem at all. Nothing.
Praise God.
But you know, I've learned to see over, that wasn't nothing strange. I've done that thing for years. You know, I did run and I would say to my, my leg hurt me, and I just started talking all this. That's everybody always tells everybody, oh, I'm going to have a boy, I have this. Let me go down to the doctor and tell him what's wrong with me. Let's be able to get down there and say this enough. You know, we can really get this thing working and get it in there. You know, it's good. No, I just start talking. I start talking to my body. Your body's out of control. It's because your mouth's out of control.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Health. And I'm telling you, this works. Look, I didn't learn this in 10 minutes. I have spent decades of studying and talking a certain way to accomplish. You need to understand this. You'll get better at bringing it to pass the more you practice it and do it.
Amen.
The more you do the way you've been doing and stuff, don't be surprised. Stuff comes and you have a hard time getting it off.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. I mean, because the practice, you know, when I was a kid, they used to say practice makes perfect.
Yep.
Well, it does. I mean, the word's the same way. You just keep putting it to practice. You keep doing it. You keep doing it over and over again. I remember times, man, I worked a hard time trying to get it. You know, I'd work, you know, there's something like cold would try to come on me, and I would, oh man, you'd have to really get into it, start talking, saying, and you know what, and you'd have all the symptoms, and they just didn't seem to want to, but you just keep talking, saying the right thing and saying the right thing. I wouldn't talk about my cold. I wouldn't, somebody come up saying, do you have a cold? No, I don't have one. But you can have it. Thank you. We have one for you. And don't worry. Those people that do that, they will come down with it. Don't worry. They'll have the cold.
Yeah.
They'll run around, you know, do you have this or you have that? No, you got it. That's what's wrong. You have a small brain. You don't have much in your head talking about like you're some kind of great Christian, but you ain't got no Bible in your head. There's no word there. You know? That's like, you know, going around, you know, you don't need Christians wanting to put doubt in your mind about your salvation. Hallelujah. Healing's my salvation.
Hallelujah.
And we talk it. You know? Now, I went and told Wanda then later on, yeah, you know, I ran the next day, then I told her what had happened the day before. And I told her, praise God, it's a working great.
Hallelujah.
See, the word works. And see, you do that. Now, you know, it's not a big deal, and we're going to find this out. Because we found out this principle here is why Mark 11:24 exists, because of this principle of believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. It is the same principle. Praying is saying words. A successful prayer life has guarded words. Prayer isn't a place you go to whine about the problems. Prayer is the place that you take the word and you go before God. Your word says it. Look, we could go back over, but we won't, to Moses. Moses goes back. The children of Israel are acting like hell. He comes off the mountain with the you know, he's got God's word. He's got it, you know. He's got it written down. God wrote this on some stones for it. He comes down out of the mountain and they're all acting like hell. You know, they're just acting like there ain't no God. They're down there, you know, we're Egyptians, you know, down there. So he gets upset. God says, stand back and let me kill them all. I just want to kill them. I'll make a great nation out of you. And most Christians say, yeah, do that. You kill them, I'll watch and cheer. You know what he did? He didn't mind a crime by none. He said, God, you're going to look bad in front of all these nations. You bought them out, but you can't keep them, can you? You can't keep them. Can you? You said in your word, this is what you were going to do for them. Huh. Are you going to do that? He didn't go, oh God, things are just so bad here. help me, Lord. Things that Christians should cry about, they don't. But he just tells him. He takes God, what, to his word. God says, yep, you're right. Okay. We're back over. You see, you go before God with his words. What do you believe in your heart? What are you saying? Hallelujah. How do you view concerning health and healing and all that stuff? What's your... How do you talk about these? How do you talk about God in you and working in you? What is your confessions about these things? What do you say? Because see, there's words going all the time out here contrary to things and all that stuff. There's all these things going on at the time. But your success is in your voice. It's not in somebody else's. It's in your voice. It's about your faith. Your faith is in your voice. Now, if you study the New Testament, God does not consider belief outside of the word as faith. He calls it unbelief. Anything outside is called unbelief. Faith in the word is what God, when God, whatever you see in scripture is talking about faith, always this is faith in the word. It's not just my opinion. You might turn it into your faith, but God calls it unbelief.
Amen.
It's unbelief. See, it's like we take with Mike. Mike was smart. He would turn around. He takes scripture after scripture. See, he's putting a belief system in himself. He's replacing another belief system.
Amen.
See, you know, did you ever have your computer and, like, you know, somehow something messes up and everything? And so you wipe the hard drive clean. You put on a new operating system on that thing. You've got to get that old off of there. Well, you know, your heart, you got a new operating system. What have you done with that thing? Have you just contaminated it with the old apps of the world? Yeah. I'm going to put the junk back in there that I had in me that crashed the last ride. Yeah. Yep, I'm just going to put that. See, Mike didn't do that. Mike got a new drive, and so what did he do? Started putting all new apps in that thing.
Amen.
He didn't put any of the old junk back in there. And you know what? It takes time. See, it takes work to do that. It takes time. But the payoff.
Amen.
See, we agreed with God do something, and he did it. Well, that's no surprise.
Amen.
What would have surprised me if they had just got up and said he didn't do it? That would have surprised me. But you know what? The apps they put in that computer performed the way it was supposed to. It did it. So you need to get it. So it says, whatever thing, therefore I say to you, because of this principle, I believe in your heart, saying with your mouth, don't doubt in your heart. You watch, you guard your heart. Jesus said so. If junk's in your heart, you put it there. You received it. You can never blame someone else.
Amen. Come on.
You received it. Somebody criticized you, you received it. Well, it hurt my feelings. Who cares about your feelings? You better guard your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the devil has an opening and your feelings will kick that door open so the devil can get at you.
Amen.
Don't you allow that. Don't you allow that. Feelings are a powerful thing. And many people suffer because of not keeping their feelings under control.
Amen.
They suffer. You got to do that. Why? You don't want to kick that door open. Hallelujah. To put something contaminated in you. Wherefore, the things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. The things you ask, you're using words. What are your words that you're speaking? What are the words you're speaking? See, I've read people praying and I think, man, they shouldn't pray it that way. They shouldn't do that. See, and this is why I say prayer, you know, prayer changes things. Yes, I've seen people pray and it just get worse. I have watched that. Yeah, prayer will change something. There are words spoken. Words will either bless or words will curse.
Come on,
that's why I thank God. I learned through Kenneth Hagin. Very wise in areas of his life. Very wise that he understood. He said, I'm not always so quick to pray about things. I always make sure that I'm ready to, why? Going to say the right thing, believe the right thing, and say the right thing. See, that's why Mike being in the Word, what he's doing, writing things down, he's putting right things in him, so when he wants to respond to something, it's a right thing comes out.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It has to be that way. It can't be, well, I'm just going to tell you what's on my mind. I ain't. Sometimes there's things come to my mind that should not be there. Shall I tell you what most people speak their mind? They're liars. They're speaking their feelings. They're liars. And that's how so many lies get told, through feelings. Because I found out my feelings lie to me about stuff. My feelings. My heart can know the right things and my feelings going the other way. No matter how I feel. Glory to God. The Word's true.
Amen.
Well, you know, Jesus, and the same incident in Matthew 21, the disciples were really surprised because Jesus spoke to the tree and it died. In verse 21 in Matthew, we read this last week, it said, Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. Well, where do we find out that faith is? It's in your heart. Do you have faith? How did you get that faith? It isn't yours. It was God's faith given to you. Now, I want you to keep that in mind of Scripture we're going to go to. That's going to really help you today is to understand some things. The Lord said we must go to a higher level. We must go to a higher level. We must. And this will help us. In fact, I think it's a great blessing to understand to go to the higher level. In some ways, I think it's a little bit easier, a little easier on us. He said, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say this mountain be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. This is why when you pray, if you ask for something, he said you will receive it. That should change everything that you ever talk and say about that after that. You see, Mike and Darlene prayed something. They refused to change what they believed and said. If you can't keep your mouth shut, don't expect your faith to work very well at all. Because you're going to end up following your mouth. You'll follow your mouth. See, what they did, they didn't change what they said about it. Therefore, it came to pass. Their words, you can't change your words and have it come to pass. Jesus said you're going to have, did he say you're going to have what's in your heart? He said you're going to have what you say. You're going to have what you say. See, that's why I like to know, years ago we had the confession police. See, there's some of you need a confession cop around you. That's your problem.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. That's your problem.
Amen.
Somebody to tell you, knock it off saying that. You're talking this way one time and this way the next time. Yeah, well, that's your problem. It ain't the devil. It ain't it's you. See, and I found out that I was my biggest problem.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I was my largest problem. Hallelujah. So I changed it. You know, it's hard. I used to think, you know, Wanda was my problem. And then I got saved and found out, my God, Ed, you're a problem. Dear Lord, you're a problem. Hallelujah. Praise God. I had to change. Now I want you to look at Luke. In Luke 17, we want to look at something. Luke 17, and here really comes some wisdom from God. This is one of the things, I put these scriptures I had from last Sunday in the bulletin, put them in again, and I did for this purpose. The Lord spoke to me about it. You know, if you don't get these principles I've been talking about last week and this week, you're never going to go very far in faith. Now, you may know these scriptures. They need to become very real to you.
Amen.
Because this, I'm going to tell you what, it'll jumpstart your faith and take it to a higher level. It'll take your faith to
Amen.
A place. And this is what you want. See, you don't want to be driven by the problems around you. Always believe in God trying to put the fires out around you. You know, when I came back from Rhema, it was in a church, and they had a Friday night prayer thing that they used to have. And they had this prayer thing, and the pastor never came to it. He had other people running, but he came. He said, I want you to run it. And sort of glad that he wasn't running. There was things that, you know, he just, You know, had some religious ideas about some stuff. But it doesn't matter. He's a good man. You know, he's born again, you know, man. But anyhow, so I went to this. They had a prayer thing, and they were praying. But I was walking back for they're praying. What I did is I didn't go in and just start to take off. I go in and let them do what they were doing, and I'm walking around and thinking, man, they're just shotgun praying about every little this problem here, that problem. They're just shotgun praying, you know. That's what most people's prayer lives, they mark down all the things that are happening, and then they're praying about all the things that happen. Well, I found out that ain't successful praying. Because your prayer life will be led by the devil. The devil causes problems and you follow after with your bucket of water to throw on that fire. And wherever the devil's going, you're chasing around. I don't chase around the devil. If he wants to visit it, he has to come to me. He's got to follow me around. I'm not following him around. That's why families don't get changed. Parents run around just trying to put the fires out of the kid. Just their prayer lives are about, you know, just... The devil operates through them and they run around trying to put out the fire. That's good preaching, ain't it?
Amen.
Now, here's what the Lord told me. And you know what? When I found out spiritually what to do, there's a bunch of people who didn't like prayer meeting anymore. They loved to run around putting out fires that never got put out. They just praying about the same junk all the time and the same problems and the same people that never change. And the Lord said, I remember walking back and forth, and I said, Lord, what's going on here? What all do we do? You know, they were having a prayer meeting without consulting the Lord. Well, do you, when you go to your prayer, did you ever consult the God about what you're going to talk about? Then maybe what you think is a problem ain't even the problem at all. And the Lord said this to me. He said, yeah, they're running around trying to put out fires. He said, if they would listen to me, I could show them one thing to pray about and put 10 fires out. See, it would be good to be led by the Spirit on everything you do. Most people do not pray spiritually. They pray out of what they see. They never consult God on the problems. They just dash into it. That's not what to do. You know, a fireman sees a fire. It's not good just to run in that door. You may get consumed. You see, find it out. Lord, we got all this stuff going on. What can we do to change things? This one thing is I love about praying in tongues. Because Ed can put his ideas aside. I can, what I'm full of seeing and what I'm full of this and that and the other thing and say, God, you see and know why things are happening. See, we mostly pray on the basis of, you know, what we go out here call. It's like having a disease, whatever the symptoms are. We pray about symptoms, and usually never. It's like the Lord spoke to me about a thing spiritually. It didn't have to do sickness, but He used this to me. He said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. And I'm, oh, that was a real compliment, wasn't it? What He's trying to tell me, I've been wasting my time praying and saying about certain things. Because I wasn't speaking to the problem. Because I didn't know what the problem was. I'm thinking, seeing the symptoms, you know the problem. That's not the way it works. Just like a doctor. See, they say today that most doctors that you're going to go to, the average doctor, is going to treat your symptoms. He's not going to find the core of why you have the problem. And if he does know the core, most of the time he can't tell you because it'll upset you because you got to change. Hey, this is the truth.
Amen. That's right.
He tells you the only reason you got this problem because you ain't doing that. You ain't don't do this. You need to do that. If you do, you won't have that problem. Yeah, but I like doing this. Don't you tell me. I'm going to go to a doctor that's going to just treat my symptom and let me alone. That's right. Because I got insurance and I don't care what it costs. My insurance is going to go and other people are going to have to help pay for it. For my pride and my selfishness.
Amen.
And not wanting to take care of me. Woo-hoo. Oh, what a loving bunch of Christians. I'll tell you, we're just... See, we need to deal with ourselves. You know?
Amen.
What I do in this earth is affecting other people.
Amen.
You'd never know it in America.
Come on.
You'd never know it in most Christianity. You'd never know it. People don't live like that's true. The effect. We hate the effects, but we caused them.
Come on.
I caused a lot of bad effects. I'll tell you.
Amen.
But see, we like like it or not, we're too prideful. Even Christians are too prideful. And we're going to find out about this because on dealing this thing, the apostles come to Jesus after they see the thing with the tree, and their thing in Luke 17:5 says this, apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Well, I just want to say this to you. They said, increase our faith. Really, they asked for a wrong thing. They didn't even know what they were. Increase our faith. Increase my faith. Well, faith comes by hearing the word, don't it? I want you to think about these guys. These guys, this is the 17th chapter. They haven't been for 2 weeks with Jesus. He has been speaking the words of God, and these guys ain't been receiving it. Oh. Well, I thought if I went to church, it'd really help me. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. Don't matter what's preached.
Amen.
If you're not receiving it, you say, well, I believe it's true. Well, what are you doing about it? Are you talking like it's true? Are you acting like it's true? Don't matter, whatever you do, run around and say it's true. Don't matter. Hey, increase our faith. Do that. I need that. Well, then he says, you can say to this mulberry, he says, so the Lord said to him, he said, look, if you have faith as a mustard seed, he said, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, I want you to see something here. Faith. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing, is hearing the word of God. Remember I taught on the parable of the sower? What it meant? If you don't understand the parable of the sower, how will you understand all parables? In other words, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, you're not going to ever have strong faith. What is the word of God in the parable? It's a seed. So what did he say about this? Seed? If you have faith as a mustard seed, if you have faith as a seed, faith is a seed that God gives you. Faith is a seed. Now let me say this about seeds. There are good seeds and there are bad seeds. You know, I remember one time there was one plant grass in a yard of, in a house we had, and I wanted to plant, so I got looking at grass seed. And I didn't know much about that at that time, but I looked on bags and I found out you don't buy the cheap grass seed because on it has listed the percentage of seed that will probably actually develop. Oh, the cheap stuff? Well, it's 75% good. Do you understand why farmers, like when you think about a corn farmer, why don't you take your own corn and make it seeds and then plant your seeds out? They buy seed because their seed is guaranteed. Like, you know, 99% of it will produce. They buy this seed that they know that's going to... Now, how good do you think the seed of the word is? Does it work sometime? 100%. God's word will work every time. If you said you had believed and it did not work, I'm sorry, you told a lie. That is not true. God's seed will always produce. If God's seed could produce in a dead man's seed, it got you born again, a dead man's seed, we talked about that. Now, you have the best ground in the world.
Amen.
And God's word is a perfect seed for a completely righteous soil.
Amen.
Is it going to work? Is it going to work? See, a farmer naturally, he works his soil, gets his soil ready. I don't care how good a soil he has, if the seed's no good, it ain't going to produce. I don't care how you're born again. It's about the seed. What have you been planting? See, the sower sows the word. What have you been sowing?
Amen.
What have you been listening to people? So, do you know the word well enough that you know that they're really saying the word when a guy preaches?
Amen.
Does he really go over? Does he talk most of the time and never goes to scriptures? Christians don't need much preaching. You don't need to listen to many preachers. You need to listen to teachers. The Christian needs taught. The world needs preached
yes,
to.
That's right.
The Christian needs taught.
Amen.
But Christians would rather have preachers because they let me shout and do a little bit of running around when I leave. I don't know a scripture in the world to keep this thing running. I don't know nothing about making it work. I just got excited. No, I want to be able to walk it. I want to be able to do it. I don't want to go to school and say go through all the bit and everything and come out and not know nothing.
Amen.
You know, like today. You know, go to school and we sit around. They talk about everything but what nearly needs to be said and talked about. And they wonder why, well, they don't do good on tests. Well, my God, they shouldn't do any good. It's proof of what they're taught. It ain't going to work. You put out a ton of bad seed, why on earth would you expect a good crop? You put out low-level seed, my God, what do you expect? You know? See, we don't expect much. Our expectations aren't high. You know, farmers, a good farmer, he don't think in that way. You know, Wanda went down to one farm down from us. They have a fruit stand. She went down to buy some because we've been eating a lot of, this year has been a lot of good watermelons and cantaloupes and stuff. We've been getting a lot of good stuff. And anyhow, she went down about, she said that their watermelons, you know, that, they actually rotted in the field. Said so much rain, it just rotted. She said they're cantaloupes. They just don't have many of them. She said about that. But you know, I want you to understand the farmer. They don't turn around and say, well, that's it. We're out of farming now. Yeah. You know what? Next year, they'll be planting. They'll be planting. They'll be putting seed out. You see, this is the way it works. Christians don't do that. Christians are trying to live off of last year's planting. They're trying to live off of last year's stuff. They're trying to live off... No, you got to plant again.
Come on.
I've been saying the same things over and over again because I found out things. Well, and as I get more revelation, then I speak that. Then I speak those things. Always planting. I'm always planning.
Amen.
I'm always. Nothing's just going to happen. Well, it's working for me now. I don't have to do all that I did before. Yeah, you will. The farmer still has to get that soil ready. He still has to go through all that stuff, and he's got to make sure he has good seed. If you're having trouble in your areas of faith, it's because of your seed. You need to check on what you've been planting. You do. What have you been planting? And have you been continuously planting the right thing? Are you continually doing it? Are you guarding? What does that field mean to you that you're putting out there? What does that field? What's that field doing out there? You know, what do I really? You know, the farmers. We found out the farmer patiently waits for the fruit of the earth. He's patiently, he plants it. He will have it. He doesn't walk around out there and say, well, you know, in the springtime I'm planting and then complaining, probably won't have a good one this year. I think things aren't going to go well. Well, I just, you know, as you walk around. No, he's wasting place. Hey, man, we got to have a crop this year. We planted. We did what was right. He has an expectation he's going to have a harvest. Christians don't do that. Well, you know, God has his ways of doing stuff, and you know, no, God's not different in His Word. If you don't know God's ways, it's because you don't know His Word.
That's right.
Amen.
I know His way. You can't have faith in a God you don't know what He does.
That's right.
It's impossible. You have to know what He does. Then I can have faith in what I know He will do. That's the way it ought. You know, when I getting born again, you know, they didn't tell me, you know, sometimes God saves people and sometimes He don't. You know, sometimes, well, healing's identical.
Right.
It is easy to get healed as it is to get saved. If it's harder for you, you haven't got it yet.
That's right.
Come on.
And you should have had it a long time ago.
Amen.
Financially, you should have had it a long time ago. You should have gotten it. And there's no difference in it. It's not any different. What is different? We've made it different. We have talked different. We have said different. All of it follows laws and rules, and I found this out. The law and rule that got me saved, that faith rule, still works over in these other areas, and that faith works. What I got to do is find out what God said on the subject. It works exactly the same way. Once I know what He says, then I must maintain that. And it's not something you do, you know, it's just I find out finances. It ain't something you do when you just need money at the time. No, Wanda and I have been faithful givers. Since 1980, we have never stopped. We have never quit. We never changed. Having job and not having a job, we never changed. We always were generous toward God.
Amen.
Always. With what we had, sometimes it wasn't much, but it was generous according to what we had.
Amen.
And we did that, why? Because we had faith in the Word. We had looked more to the Word than what we did to our surroundings and what we had. Because I knew this. My success was maintaining and doing the right thing. That's my success. The success is not quitting and going to do something else. When you stop, you threw out everything you had going to you. And when you come back, you're starting on square one.
Amen. Preach.
A farmer goes out and digs that field up. He ain't going to have nothing. It's going to cost him to plant that thing again. Now, we're going to talk about the parable of the sower. I want you to get onto this because this is what happens in the parable of the sower. The word, the seed is planted. There is faith. All the ones in his group, the ones who heard it and didn't, Satan came immediately and took it away. There was faith there. They had faith. Faith was given. The ones that came along and they went after it for a short time, they were happy about it until things changed, and then it was like, oh, well, we better go do something else. And then you had the other ones. And I want to tell you who this is. Many Christians do it. They hear the word, and it's right. It says thorns and stuff grow up and choke the word. You know what those thorns are? They're seeds that were planted from the person's mouth. Everything grows up in a man's spirit is what? From words. Everything. 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 It's words. If something chokes it out, it is because there have been seeds planted in there, and now you have weeds growing up, choking out the faith that God gave you. That choke that seed. It's just like a farmer. What do the farmers do? You know, when I was in farming, it's different today. They go out and spray the things. We used to run cultivators. And you'd get the cultivator out, the corn would start coming up, and you get the cultivators out because the weeds is going to come up. Isn't it amazing? You don't have to fertilize weeds. They'll just grow. Did you ever notice that? Yeah. Weeds, you don't have to fertilize. You have to do nothing. It's hard to even drought them out. The weeds will grow and stuff. But as soon as that corn started coming out, you got the tractor out with the cultivator, and we'd run them up and down the rows through the thing and that stuff to knock the seeds out. Today they go out and put sprays on there. They say, it'll never hurt you. And it'll never hurt you. No. Now, we put it on the animal's food. It won't. Although we eat the animals, but no, it'll never bother. You better walk by faith, folk. How do I walk by faith? Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you what, you ain't going to change all this stuff. You know, thank God they'll change some stuff, but you're waiting for it all to get changed. You a fool. I mean, I just downright simple. You a fool. I live long enough in this earth. It ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. Because there's a lot more people love money and they'll do whatever they can to get whatever they want. Hallelujah. But see, I walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I do what I do know to do. And then I'll tell you what, God takes care of it. Hallelujah. If you believe you're going to get something, you will.
Amen.
Have at it. You'll have it. Glory to God. Well, that's good preaching anyhow.
Amen.
But we go over there. So, in other words, we're doing something. Listen what he said. He said, if you'll say to this mulberry tree, now we had this mustard seed. Yeah, faith is a mustard seed. He said, then if you have like a mulberry tree, he said, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. It will obey you. Now let me say this. Because of what was said here, if you had faith as a mustard seed. Now let me say this about the mustard seed. You need to know this. The mustard seed is the word. It's the word. It's the seed. It's the seed of faith. It's not you have little of faith. Don't ever believe it. You know, I just heard a really good minister, and I mean, I like him. I buy his stuff and things. But he made this statement. He said, see, if you just have, he said about this, if you just have a little bit of faith. I thought, why don't you read the rest of the things that Jesus said? Jesus rebuked his disciples for not having the faith to stop a storm. They're wailing and crying on the boat. We're going to drown. We're going to die. He's sleeping. What is wrong with Jesus? Don't he know the trouble we're in? My God. See, this is Christian praying. This is the Christian prayer. Don't God know that this is happening to me? Yeah, he's trying to get away from you. No, they know it. So Jesus gets up and said, peace be still. And they all marveled, it said. They marveled. He said, oh, you of little faith. Why were you afraid? Would he have ever said that to you more than 70 times? Seven. Oh, you of little faith. Why? He's not talking about little faith. The Word of God, the smallest Word of God will produce exactly what it said. It is designed. Did you ever see what a mustard tree looks like? Mustard tree gets good size. Tree. Then he spoke, what? A tiny seed. Then he spoke of a mulberry tree. Did you ever see a mulberry seed? When I was a kid, we used to pick mulberries. They were in a field down from us, and my mom would send us down, and she'd make jelly and pies out of them. And they get sort of, it's like a blackberry, except it's longer and round, and tiny little seeds on them. Yet we're in these good-sized trees, and we're picking them. The Word of God is a seed, and it will produce what it says. It is the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and faith is a seed. If you receive the seed, it don't matter how little it seems to be compared to your problem. Most Christians, their greatest problem is they have glorified the problem, and they spent little time with the seed.
Come on.
They spent almost no time. The farmer takes care of the seed, not the weather. That's not his job. But he makes sure that that seed's taken care of in that ground. The failures of faith is because people do not care for the seed. The seed will always produce. No one will ever convince me that God's Word won't produce what it said. It is. If there's something wrong, I'm wrong. The Word is never. The Word will do it. When I got convinced of that, when I was a young Christian, it didn't take me 10 years to get to that. I'd settled that right away. The Word's right, Ed's wrong. It will produce. If it don't, then Ed's going to have to stop and say, what's wrong with Ed? Okay, what do I need to change? Maybe there's something that I don't know, something I need to grow in, something is that. But God's Word is the right way to go.
Amen.
You know, Mike didn't have all that from that book. That didn't happen to him because he was looking at something else. He knew the Word was his answer. Your problem ain't the answer. Your things around you naturally ain't the answer. Your Word is. The Word planted in your heart will produce what you need.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now listen, this, the Bible in basic English says of this scripture. It said, and the Lord said, if your faith was only as great as a grain of mustard seed, He said, you might say to this tree, well, you're going to have to say something. Oh my God. You might say to this tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. It would be done. See, well, can we do, is that a possible thing? Jesus said it is. That settles it. I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. They can say whatever they want about it. They can minimize their faith in areas. I refuse to. I'm not going to. Jesus said it. If Ed don't get it, it's not the Word's problem. It's Ed's problem. Ed needs to know more. And Ed needs to understand more. You need to come to that place. I believe among faith people, there's been really too much pride.
Amen.
Like we're something special. I'm going to tell you what, I didn't even get faith myself. It was given to me. I have no pride because we're going to find out. Jesus talks about that then. Now listen to what Jesus said. This is still talking about this principle. And what it is, it's a parable. Jesus is going to make a statement about this faith thing. And I'm so glad that Luke wrote, listened to the Holy Ghost and wrote this down. Listen to what it says. Verse 7. And which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come in at once and sit down and eat. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk and afterwards you will eat and drink. See now, for socialist America, this is a hard saying. Oh no. Oh no, you take everybody, you treat it all the same. This is why people's faith don't work. Socialists aren't faith people. Socialists are never faith people. Good preaching, Ed. I'll tell you what. I can stir up a crowd. I'll tell you. I'm sorry, they're not. Now listen to this. Why? Oh, that isn't nice. He comes in out of work and you should be taking care of him. This is the church today. This is the church. Now, but he says, but would he not rather say, let me read it again. Prepare thyself for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk. And afterwards you will eat and drink. Now listen what he says. Then Jesus goes, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded unto him? He said, I think not. You see, I watched this happen in the church. I watched this Maxwell guy come along and started all these things about how you treat. You're running around pet people all the time. Always thanking everybody for every little thing you do. If you want to keep people in a good place, you just all the run around petting people all the time. Send them on. And I thought about this. If you have a big ministry, how do you have time to do this all the time? As you don't. You know what? Nobody has to pat and pet it. That's why my faith works. Amen. See, I live by faith. I don't live by pats and, oh, Ed, thank you, Ed.
Yes.
I don't live by that. God done said, thank you, Ed. That's all it took.
Amen.
I'm more interested in God's thought of me than you.
Amen.
And that might be hard for some people to take, but tough. That's what God thinks. And you know what? Now listen to what he says here. Does he thank him? He said, I think not. So he said, so likewise you. When you have done all those things what you are commanded, say, we're unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now, he made this statement concerning faith. He's talking about faith. In other words, I want you to get this in yourself. I can never brag about my faith. Wasn't mine anyhow. And I got, all I did is what God commanded me to do, and that's it. He don't have to pat and pet me. See, when so many Christians need mercy all the time. Why? Because they need pat and petted all the time. Because they don't do what was commanded to do.
Amen.
So they need somebody always the time patting and petting them, patting and petting, patting and petting. God didn't raise me that way.
Amen.
He raised me up to be an adult.
Yes.
Leaders, you ain't going to ever become a leader if you need pat and pet. Oh, you will in the woke world. You can be a great Democrat. They'll send you to Washington. You know, the gay crowd will be, they're excited about you. But you understand, you're not going to. A leader, he can't wait for the pat and pet. You're called to be a leader.
Amen.
Let's stand up and lead. We want a move of God. Yeah, God sends somebody else to lead it. We'll walk around and look and cheer. I'll sit in the bleachers and that stuff. You just put cheerleaders in front and I'll do the cheers with them. No, be a leader.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say, I'm going to lead my revival.
Amen.
Amen.
See, I want you to understand this, because what's he talking about? Faith. Faith is your servant. Why are you serving faith? Most Christians work at faith all the time. I'm sorry, faith is my servant. It will always do what I believe and walk in. It'll always do it. Faith is my servant. It shouldn't be you know what? When things are going, I don't tell my faith. The faith people have put faith up in this pedestal, and faith was their servant the whole time. It belonged at their feet. For them to tell to do this, go do this. No, we worship the faith. We worship in faith. Faith's my servant. God gave me faith. He gave me a servant. He gave me His word to serve me to do His will. It is my help. And that's why without faith you can't please God. The only thing that pleases Him is faith. It's His faith. It's the only thing that pleases Him. You know, we can sit here and sing all the worship songs, but don't say without worship you can't please God. Don't say that. I've heard more ministers say, well, worship's the highest level. Oh, it is? Where did Bible did you read? You can worship God in unbelief. We sing songs today up here and it say certain things, and I'll guarantee you there's people sitting here, me and myself, ain't in line with it. We can sing it all we want.
Amen.
Yeah, you Presbyterians do get quiet, I'll tell you. I might have to go upstairs and preach. We have built into us a ways of thinking that are not correct.
Amen. Come on.
You know what? If I ain't worshiping by faith, it ain't worth spit.
Come on.
Worship in itself will never get you healed. It'll never get you delivered. It'll never get you none of that. Worship is an act of faith. Worship, because of my faith and the strength of my faith toward the faith that God has given me, determines my level of worship.
Yes.
Amen. Come on.
Not how many songs I sing, not how many concerts I go to, and not how many songs and how long we sing. That ain't what does it.
Amen.
It's faith. There's one thing about it. We would guard what the people who write music, if they understood that, they would guard a lot about what they write, words they put up. Do you know, we have song today, I pretty know, singing about, giving ourselves as a sacrifice. You don't give, you're born again, you already belong to God. Your sacrifice, I don't sacrifice giving myself to you. I sacrifice by giving my flesh to Him. Say, Lord, I'm giving you my body. I'm going to live for you out of my flesh. My heart already belongs to Him. I'm not giving that to Him. He owns it. How can you give Him what He already owns? Tell me how you're going to do that. What you need is your sacrifice. The Scripture tells us in Romans 8. What are you supposed to give Him as a living sacrifice? Not myself, my flesh. Myself is okay. It's my flesh has got trouble. Your flesh is... We believe... You know, I don't ever believe for healing for my spirit. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But my flesh is living in this world and stuff wants to get on it, but I know how to get it off of it. Why? Giving your body as a living sacrifice. You can sing it all you want. It ain't going to change until you get in faith to do it.
Come on. Preach.
And then when you understand how to do it, oh my God, your worship. It'll be just like, wow, this is what you do to me. It's not how great my faith is.
Yes.
I wouldn't have had none hadn't He gave it to me.
Yes.
It would have never existed. And when He gave me, He gave in that seed is enough to produce everything. My faith doesn't develop any further than that seed. If my faith don't grow, it's because I've done let that seed go and threw it out.
Amen. Preach.
It is natural that it would grow. It's put into my spirit. Amen. If I cooperate, all you got to do is cooperate with it.
Amen.
It's a natural thing. And I want you to walk there today. See, get this revelation. We're not saying this to be hard. It's to get to a different level. Get
Amen.
To a different place of thinking. Get down to your place of thinking. God's Word will produce in me. It's designed for it. My spirit is a perfect soil. It'll do it.
Amen.
If I keep saying the right things, if I keep speaking the seed that's in me, if I keep saying that, that seed gets watered and watered. It will produce.
Amen.
It will produce. You know, it's because of that putting in. This is how, you know, with Wanda and I, we decided to go to Rhema. You know, you're going to leave. You're putting everything aside. You're going to a place with no jobs. You got a family. You got to go to a place. You don't do that with the average Christian's faith.
Come on.
You don't do that. You got $500 in the bank. You're leaving. You ain't got no jobs. And you give the $500 away. We didn't give the $500 away because we hadn't learned about faith and giving. It wasn't hard. It wasn't even hard for us to give that money away. It wasn't something we stopped down and said, well, what's $500 going to do? We sure need more than $500. What is this worth? Not much. So let's give it away. Let's go plant the seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
Now, we were doing that. That's 7 years after I got born again. We were doing that. Mm-hmm. We weren't sitting around, well, maybe we won't have enough money. We get. I was just on the thing. God's Word don't work. He's stupid, because he could have had a good guy with it. My God ain't stupid.
Amen.
Does he have a good person with you?
Amen.
Does he?
Amen. Come on.
Well, does he? Have you been a band? Are you just sort of up and down? You're with him sometimes and sometimes you better get with it and
Amen.
Decide Come you're on. Going to change your life today.
Amen.
Because why? Your success depends on it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You don't want to live talking about what God did in the past all the time. You want to talk about what God's doing in your future.
Amen.
What God has for you. What He'll do for you today.
Amen.
See, it don't matter. God healed me in the past, but I can't get it today. Who cares?
Come
don't
on.
Matter.
Come on.
What God did to me financially in the past, what's He doing today?
Mm-hmm.
What will He do today? Where are we at today? See, it's getting into these things. It requires a practice in doing things.
Amen.
It is easy to get lazy. It's easy to arrive to a level and say, we're going to rest. It's easy to do.
Amen.
That's what happens with most people out here. That's what happens to people. They go along and they come to the place and they get a resting spot and they just stay at that spot. Next thing they know, they ain't that spot anymore.
Right.
They've moved back. They've moved back. See, I don't know. It's like Brother Hagin was asked the question, do you ever get the point you don't have to use your faith? He said, I don't know if it is or not, but he said, I ain't never found it. No, you're always going along. Faith is something you're always working and building and keeping and maintaining that.
Amen.
How much do you like success? Now, you might say how much you like it, but it's going to be proof in this of what you do. You can say that you really want success, but if you ain't didn't doing nothing, you really didn't want it.
Amen.
You really didn't. See, we can say, it's like I've found myself. Sometimes you're making certain statements about things, and I think, you know, I'm not really not in this thing. I'm saying stuff, sounds really nice. But I'm not in this thing. I'm not in the game. Now I got to change. See, I had some things here before, and the Lord spoke to me about it. And I thought, yeah, I know this. I had to hold it before, but I sort of let it go. I said, you know, I'm walking along, but I'm not in this thing. See, and you got to know that. You got to know about yourself, do you? Do you really know you? A lot of people don't know. They think that they're doing all right, but they don't really know themselves. They don't see when they're in the game or they're not, you know? Just in sports, you know, a successful team, you got to go out in every game. You got to be in the game.
Amen.
If you want to go to the top, you know, or, you know, you want to be the Mets, go ahead, you know. Be a team, you know. They win a game every 2 years or something. You know, if you want to do that kind of stuff, if you want to do that, well, what's wrong there? Well, somebody don't know how to get people in the game. They're paying people a lot of money and they ain't doing nothing. I'd take a couple of them out to the side and shoot them and say the rest of them, now we're going to start playing baseball. It'd change a lot of people. Oh, okay, I guess we'll go out there and do this now. But see, there, people ain't in the game. There's one thing, the coaches and the owners ain't in the game. You can't be putting all that money out and nothing showing up.
Amen.
And not winning nothing. Well, there's something wrong and it starts at the top. Nobody's in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is in the game.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And He's not on my team, I'm on His.
Amen.
That's
right.
A lot of people say, you know, they say God is with me, but I want to know this, are you with Him?
Amen. Come on.
Amen. Are you with Him? Mm-hmm. He's the coach of the team. And I find myself sometimes lacking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not playing up to the standard the coach gave me the ability to live.
Come on.
And it's required of me.
Great preaching.
He's giving us the ability. He's given us His word that we can determine the level of faith we would want to arise to.
Amen.
What do I want to arise to? Where do I want to go? This is one thing I can tell you downright. I have not spoken to many mountains and moving, and I haven't pulled many trees up with my faith. So I know I got a way to go.
Amen. Amen.
And if you think you arrived, you done fooled yourself. The devil will be at your house tomorrow.
Yep. Come on.
Amen.
Don't fool yourself.
Amen.
This is work.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, you got to keep working.
Amen.
You got to go. You got to start believing. You might think you're believing today. You need to step out beyond where you did. You know, I found this out in the areas of healing. You're going to have places you're going to have to stand. And you're just not going to jump and run to the doctor right away. Or you're never going to know divine healing. You'll never know it. You will never know it. God will help you and He's good. But I'm going to tell you what. I've experienced divine healing. And I'm going to tell you what. It is something else. To see a miracle happening in yourself. To see a miracle happen. It's just like me. That's a big deal over that fit. That must pull muscle, pulling muscle, that, you know, might not seem like any big thing. But I'll tell you, it was in my body. And God's Word changed it. In my body. When I watch people, they can't get the littlest thing changed. They can't stop the littlest things. They can't stop. People can't stop. What is it? Why? Well, I learned over time. It's a deal with the areas of faith. You're going to have to come to a place and stop. And say, no, I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe God. I've listened to other people's testimonies. And, you know, Coach, dealing with this testimony. There's a guy, I've used this before, but it's a good testimony. He was a Rhema graduate. And I listened to his testimony. He was a guy in his 40s. And he had a heart attack. And they really didn't know why, what had happened to him, because he generally was a, you know, of good health and stuff, and he wasn't in any kind of strange. But he had a heart attack. It was so bad, he only had 10% of heart, you know, muscle. Or 10%. Think about that. That's all he had. It's 10%. And, well, he stopped and said to himself, believe God. And the doctors put him on a heart transplant list. And he told the doctor, I don't want to be a no heart transplant. I'm going to believe God and be healed. And the doctor said, I'm not removing you from the list. I'm keeping you on the list. And he said about removing it. The doctor said this to him. He said, if you tell me you next time you see me, you mow the yard and that stuff. He said, I might consider it. But he said, if you ain't out doing something, he said, don't bother. I'm leaving you on the list. So he said this. He said, I went home and I mowed the yard. And he said, I'd like to die. But he said, I mowed the yard. And he said, the next week, I mowed the yard. I'd have liked to died. See, he threw himself off on God. See, now you might think, that's a hard thing. You know what? I believe more in healing than I do dying. How about you?
Amen. Amen.
I believe more in living than dying.
Amen.
People die, they believe more in dying than living.
Yeah.
Well, do you believe God's word's greater than the doctor? Do you? You have to come along to that. Look, you have to arrive at a spot, because what are you going to do when you run in one day and the doctor says, we can't help you anymore, you're dead. You know what you're going to do? You're going to die. That's what you're going to do. You're going to die. That's what's going to happen to you. If you haven't been doing anything, maybe grace will come, but you can never tell people it's your faith and you were trusting God. You just got it because God was just merciful on your stupid head. Like, he's done that for me. So let's not, he's been good to Ed in spite of his dumb. He's been good. Well, this guy turned around. You know what? The next time he went in the doctor, he's completely well. The doctor checked him and his doctor said, you have a brand new heart. He said, you know, your heart's completely different. Well, nothing like that. You got a brand new heart.
Hallelujah.
You see, you can sit and say you're healed. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you acting like you received something, or are you still acting like you did? See, I learned that about 3 or 4 months old in my Christianity, listening to Kenneth Hagin, about acting like what you believe you said you got is real. About doing things. And I learned immediately about doing stuff. If I believe I got something, then I act like it's true. I couldn't go home and sit down and say, well, when my thigh feels a lot better, then I'll go out and run again. Because, see, I don't want to hurt my thigh anymore. That's my confession, you know. I don't really believe I've received that healing at all. It's still probably going to get me. So I ain't moving till I feel better. That's a good faith message. When you feel good, then you were healed. No, I was healed when I said it. When I was walking out there talking, when it was bothering me, and I said, I believe I was healed. That's why I kept trying to run again. I tried to run again to bother me, so I slowed down. But then I ended up finishing the last lap and a half. I turned around and ran the thing. I went back home. And the next morning, I jumped right out of bed, put my running staff on, and went out the door. I didn't go out. Well, I better check to make sure this thing, you know, we got to see. Oh, you know, we don't want it to bother Ed at all, you know. Ed's pretty tender. No, I got out there and ran 3 miles, didn't bother me at all. How did that happen? The faith that God gave to me. It is no big deal. I can't turn around and say I'm anything great. I only did what was commanded. You know what was commanded to me to receive healing? Did you know that about you? You can't get saved. The command of salvation. You've got to get saved to go to heaven. That's a command. You've got to act in faith. How do you think about faith? See, I want you to understand this. How do you think about faith? Do you think faith is an option? Do you think believing, hearing what the Word says, and it's an option if you want to do it? And once you know the commands, you've got to start to live it. You might not know how to do it all at once. You might have to develop in it. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to start following the command. And I found this out. If you do that, you'll be surprised. It didn't take me years to walk and learn divine health. I learned it in months.
Yeah.
I learned it in months. Why? Didn't listen to nothing else. I'm like sitting down, you write the words, you get the words out, you get the word, you spend the time in the words. That's what I did, spend time looking at the word. Is this stuff really true? Is the Bible really God? I got tired of hearing people say, yeah, the Bible's true, and watching it, ain't nobody living it. Oh, it's all true, but we don't live it. No, it's all true. Yes. God is great, and He's wonderful. He don't do nothing for nobody, but He's great. How would you know He's great? Don't tell me God's great. I have testimonies of His greatness.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
It ain't something I want somebody else to have. I want to have His greatness.
Amen.
You know?
Thank you, Lord.
I want to be able to stand, just like Mike, I want to be able to stand up and say, hey, we believe God, He did it. Hallelujah. This is what we stood. He gave us faith and we just used it. Right out there, and it worked. Wow. Hey. Are we surprised? No. His word, His seed will produce it. It'll produce. See, get yourself, meditate on these things. That's why I say, take these scriptures that I put in from last week and this week. I'm just going, this is what the Lord told me. To tell you, you need to spend time, meditate, that this stuff becomes real to you. That this using your voice and believing things. Because He said, oh, people have heard Him and they quote Him, but they are not walking in them. They're not rising to a higher level. And you know, when I went over, I got some revelation out of it going down through it. Say, ah, yeah, I can get a little higher in this stuff. I can start. It's there. We need to go higher. Thank God for what they taught us before. But they were, Kenneth Hagin wasn't the end of faith.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Come on.
These guys today out here, they're not the end of anything.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of Ed's faith.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I ain't pulled out the tree yet. But don't be surprised if one happens. But it ain't going to happen when you just, well, hit the mountain in my life. You know what you'll use it for? Your faith will always be used about taking care of you.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Woo! What a preacher.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's mountains that need moved out here. There's things need to be done and said that will change the nations and the people of this earth. And it requires someone of faith that can stand with God to acquire it to happen. Hallelujah. We need to change employment. Let's get employed by Jesus. Let's become a worker together with Him. Let's sit down and say, God, I want you. Why do I want to develop my faith? I want my servant to be able to do things that so pleases my master. Now, number one, He wants you well. Learn to use it. You can't help other people. You might lay hands on somebody and they get healed, but if you can't stay healed, you can't get them there either.
Yes.
Come on.
Get yourself over. My God, I want to bless people. I want to help. I want people. I don't want to be just going around treating people's symptoms. I want people to walk in the glory that God has given. I want them to have it. Why? Because there's places I've walked and I see this. As Brother Hagin talked about it. There's places and things you walk and you see that generally other people never walk there or they don't ever do it. You want to get them there to do it. You want to get them to arrive there to have this blessing because it is so wonderful. I'll tell you what, when my body doesn't dominate my life, we're living in a world where right now in America, most Americans' bodies are dominating them. The Christians, their bodies are dominating and ruling them. This is not good. It's not the blessing of God. But we're just like, get by, you know. No, it isn't good. It's not good. And it's, you know, God offers best and we don't even reach good. You know, most Christians, and most spirit-filled Christians only walk in the acceptable will of God. They don't walk in His perfect will. They never get there. They don't get good, acceptable. They get, well, not most of them hit acceptable. They're just good. They're saved. They got a little bit of faith on things and are just trotting around here or this stuff. They don't even get acceptable about a lot of stuff.
Amen.
Let's get this. There's perfect to shoot at. It ain't arrived at all that stuff yet. Let's get over there where we're walking in that. Faith, you cannot walk in the perfect will outside of faith. It's impossible. I'm going to tell you what. It's going to require faith of me to be able to do the perfect will of God because I need the power of God to do it. And there's only one way to enter grace. You know, the Bible says this. We could have read in the beginning there in Hebrews. But it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? To receive mercy. It says, find grace. You need to understand, you're not going to get grace because you go there. Grace is always entered through faith. God will let you see it, but if you can't operate in faith, you ain't going to get the grace. Grace is always, you're saved by grace through faith. Faith is how you enter into the grace of God. You cannot get it any other way. When you come to the throne, You might have messed up and have mercy, but that you got to get in faith so you can take a hold of the grace of God to be an overcomer. You might leave and go back out, and next week you'll just need mercy again. It requires faith always to enter into the grace of God. That's God's ability. I don't know about you. It ain't going far without God's ability. Ed ain't going far if God don't give Ed the seed of faith.
Amen.
If he don't give me that, it's just Ed. All of this operates. Faith is the key to all of it. And yet the church world itself knows so little about faith. Yet the Bible, it's there. But people are not entering into it. They're not entering into it. They're expecting something to fall on them. Hallelujah. Christianity ain't comfort in this world. I mean, go over to some of these nations in Africa and find out what's happening to Christians.
Yes.
My God, if somebody yells at you on the street, most Christians will cry. You know. They ain't killing you. People are dying to be Christians in nations.
Yes.
And there's more Christians dying in nations of this earth today, in our time today, than probably have been killed in any time period. Worldwide. And Christians in America, they're standing against us. They're talking about Christianity. They criticize. They criticize it. Who cares? They criticize. I'm following Jesus.
Amen.
Now, hey, if they kill me, I get to go to heaven. What an afterthought. My God, they're gonna send me to heaven. Hallelujah. And then we don't have to put up with none of the knuckleheads.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
My life ain't worth spit without Him.
Come on. Say that
it's
again.
Not worth spit.
Amen.
It is. My life is not worth spit without. My life was nothing. It was nothing but trouble for me.
Mm-hmm.
Anything good has come out of my life. It's been Jesus.
Amen.
Christ. Let's stand to our feet here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.